All right, I'm going to mute you all.
Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, all. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to give us the guidance that we need, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this thy word. And Father, if we have done anything that's not been pleasing to you, we are asking for forgiveness, Father, so that we can stand upright and be close with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, now we ask you to be with us throughout the remainder of the study this evening. And Father, also, we want you to know that we love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, and love the Holy Spirit, and we love your word, Father, for being a part of that. Now, Father, as I ask, stay with us as we study this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you've got your stuff ready now, communion, we'll get ready and take communion now. So if you'll get your bread, we know that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we need to always remember the pain and the agony that he went through for you and I, as they put those stripes on him to bring him to the point where he was almost unrecognizable. Now, Father, be with us, because it's those stripes that gives us healing. Take your bread in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and those stripes. It's your cup now. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we know that it is his blood that covers our sins. Take your cup. Now, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. May God bless us all. All right. We're going to be in picking up here in Mark 14. We got through quite a bit of it this morning. But Mark 14, that chapter, is 72 verses long. We got to 42 of them this morning. We're going to be picking up here with verse 43. And we'll see where God takes us to this evening. So I'll give you a minute to get there. Here, verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, come Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. This is where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And he had went there to pray. We went over his prayers this morning. Because you see, Jesus wasn't really all that anxious about going through all of this, because he knew what he was facing. And prayers, and one in his prayers that he was praying was, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see, he was letting the Father know that it was his will that he would follow. And we know that the Father did not take that cup away from him. And as we go on here now in this, this is where we had picked up here in 43. They're there. It was there in the Garden of Gethsemane that Judas betrayed him. And with verse 44, it says, and he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. Hold on a minute. Calling this number. Now, you see, not only is he leading them to Jesus, but so they'll know that they're getting Jesus and the right one, he is to betray him with a kiss. No. 45. And as soon as he was come, he goes straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. So now they know who he is. Now, 46. And they laid their hands on him and took him and got him prisoner now. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. He cut his ear off. But, 48. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. Now his disciples, every one of them had told him, no, they wasn't going to be offended. They was not going to leave him. Every one of them. Peter was the first one to start with that. No, if everybody else is offended, I'll not be offended. That's what he told them. But then we know what Jesus told him too. He told him, he said, before the cock crows. In Mark here this morning, we read, and that's the first time I'd noticed that. You know, I've always told you all, and every time you read the scripture, I don't care how many times you read it, there's always something that you'll see that you hadn't seen before. Now, even in Matthew, when the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter and told him, said, this night you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. And Mark told him in verse 30 there, says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see, he says here, Mark records here, that he said before the cock would crow twice. Matthew left the twice out. It all meant the same thing. Because before the cock would crow, he's going to deny him three times. But just wanted to go through that with you as an example of what we talk about and why we need a constant study of the Word of Almighty God and going over a lot of the same old things over and over and over is what we really need. Because for one, we need to get it not only in our minds, but also in our hearts. Because it has all of our spiritual things. It's got to come from the heart. Well, it can't come from the heart because we don't put it there. Now, 50. And they all forsook him and fled. They've done exactly what he told them they would do. They all denied it, said no, they wouldn't go. They'd not be offended. 51. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Now, that's something else that Mark has recorded. really, that Matthew didn't record. 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and scribes. 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at his end. He followed the Lord into the palace, and he's sitting there by one of the fires warming himself. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. They couldn't find anybody that could actually witness anything against him bad, so they could put him to death, which is what they were seeking for to do. 56. Now, they found none. 56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. They wasn't even reaching the same thing. Those weren't. 57. There arose certain and bear witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Now, that wasn't what he said at all. That's why this is a false witness statement. 59. But neither so did their witness agree together. They're not even agreeing together. 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? The Blessed was Jews' customarily avoided uttering God's name out of reverence for him. Blessed or blessed one could be used instead. They could use the difference. 962. And Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Jesus claims to be both Messiah and the coming judge there. And power is here another indirect reference to God. Now, 63. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? 64. You have heard the blasphemy. Thank ye. And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. You see, at this point, a death sentence is pronounced by the assembly authorities. But they can't do it. So they're going to have to do something else. But when they condemned him to be guilty of death, here in 65, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy, and the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. 68. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. Now, 69. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. 71. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. 72. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice, the three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. We are at the end now. There of chapter 14. And we really, there's 47 verses in 15. Now, we'll go ahead and get started. We may not get all the way through 15, but we'll see where God takes us. Verse 1, and straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. You see, they had to take him to Pilate because only Pilate could put the death sentence on him, because the Jews, and according to their faith and belief, they wasn't allowed to. They could do other punishments and all, but they was not allowed to put the death penalty on him. But that's what they wanted. Now, 2. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering, said unto him, thou sayest it. He didn't say, I am, even there, to Pilate. He told him, he said, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee? 5. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. You know, the Jews, Jesus' crime was one of blasphemy, a religious offense. Pilate's concern is that Jesus might represent a political threat. Thus he questioned him on his pretensions, if any, to kingship. And on Jesus' silence, you know, these other places where we can go and see about those things. Now, 6. Now, peace be released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done to them. 9. But Pilate answering them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew that there was really no reason, and he had found nothing against him. 11. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. You see, this is all they were wanting, is wanting his death. Now, and so Pilate, willing to consent, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into a hall called Palatial, and they called together the whole band. 17. And they clothed him with purple and planted a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, King of the Jews, doing all of this in mockery. That's exactly what it was all about. Now, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bow their knees, worshiped him. All done in mockery. They wasn't really worshiping. They was mocking. You see, the Lord Jesus, what he went through, so you and I today could live a better life, could live a life in the Spirit. Because let me tell you something. All that will walk in the ways of this world out here and stay out and away from those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and the family of God is on their way to hell. But that's not even the worst. What they don't realize is that eventually, because you see, they're never going to die. Whether you live for Jesus or you live for the devil, you will never die. When you step out of this life now, in this age, you will never die. But you will spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell, and eventually wind up with hell, Satan, and everyone that is not in heaven in that lake of fire that will burn throughout eternity. Never die. How much pain and torment that is going to be. And yet we have these churches out here today that have grown weak and weak and weak and weaker. They're not teaching the truth of God's word. Oh, they'll use parts of it, yes. But they take away from it, add to it, twist and turn it to make it say they want it to say instead of what God said with it. Now, we're going to be getting into some of that later on down the road, especially when we get back into the book of James again. You'll see quite a bit of that going on. But there is a lot of this book that they are misteaching. And they have millions of people today believing that what they say is true when it's not. And they are believing that it's the Word of God, and it's not. Because it is being used in contrast to God's Word. Like your women pastors. Nowhere in this Bible can you show me, or anyone else, where it says a woman can be a pastor. Actually, the instructions even to the men that are to be pastors let them know that a woman's not a pastor. Just that. But they are told out and outright in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter that he did not. They use the word suffer, but that word suffer means allow or permit. So he is saying, I do not allow or permit a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And then in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, he also tells them that for that woman to speak in the church is a shame. And he says, as in all churches of the saints. And that's just a few things. But there are many, many more that's being taught. They're not baptizing in the right way. Most of them are not. But they'll say, well, you see, now that's what Jesus told them to do. Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he told them to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He did. But that was also under a different time. They were still at that time under the law. It had not yet been fulfilled. The Lord had not yet finished paying all the price and went back to heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, sent back the Holy Spirit to be with mankind that started the church age. But from that time on, the only way you'll find people were baptized in Jesus' name. You see, being baptized the other way, that was John's baptism. And John's baptism was for repentance. You're not baptized today for repentance. Your repentance comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are baptized into Jesus. But it seems like we cannot get people to understand that, you know. Seems like they just will not understand. But it's mainly because they don't want to. They want things different and things to them that are funny. But under the New Testament, which didn't start until the day of Pentecost, you'll find that in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, in verse 38, when Peter was preaching, come out of the upper room after everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was preaching. And when he finished his message to those that he was preaching to on the outside of the upper room, they asked him, what must we do? And he told them, he said, go and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's how things change. But you're baptized today, and if you go to Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did you get dead to sin? Well, let's see. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into, you see the difference? Now, he goes on there and forth. Says, therefore, here's what happens when you are buried. Therefore, we are buried with him. You put on his death and all. There in verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted or buried together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But you see, that's the reason that most don't want to accept the change that was made on that day. Because they have things they know they shouldn't be doing, but they like doing them, and they don't want to stop, or they don't want to change. Think about it. And then look within yourselves to see how you stand. We're going to stop here for the evening here with verse 5. No, actually, we wouldn't be stopping here with verse 19. Because we've been through this other. And here at 19, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. So we'll stop there. And God willing, we can pick up there you continue on with the word of Almighty God. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we told your word, we thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm thankful for this time that you've given me to get into your word and to bring this study to those that will listen and those that want to become a child of the living God and walk with and walk close to the Lord Jesus Christ and serve the Father. And will they are guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray for Israel that they have peace. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours that is filled with evil today, and more being brought on it almost daily. And Father, we pray for those that are sitting in our high offices that are evil, that they be removed from office and replaced with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, that loves your church and your people and this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance. Father, and work with us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for all churches, for those that are teaching things that they should not, speaking things that are contrary to your word, and that has built these walls to divide and split mankind, that they tear these walls down, that they repent, that they'll all come together into one church, your church, one doctrine, your doctrine, that doctrine of this holy Bible, because, Father, that's the only doctrine for us to follow and to walk with. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one that's on my heart, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Courtney, and Shane, that are not living right, Father, that need Jesus. For Sue Branson, for Debbie and Daryl, for my wife, myself, for all in the nursing home there in Brandenburg, they all need touch, Father. Touch them. Give them peace, Father. And take away a lot of their pain. Now, Father, as we separate for the evening and the night, keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again come morning. And back into your word at 10 a.m. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all. Have a good day.